That quantity of pollen used in your health food stores, etc., would be usually collected from a more intense area where you will get more of it. It isn't likely, see, to go and take it from the desert. And this is where they're doing this. Part of it is for study. Part of it is to absolutely be able to track what is happening. So I don't think that it would, as you have the transference of the pollen into honey, I believe in the processing it would be weeded out. I'd have to look in that myself.
Okay.
Yes, go on.
Have you heard anything about bees having anything to do with this?
No, okay. Now, obviously, he said, so he got it from the bees from an unnatural cause. Now, look, he stated very plainly, this holy man, that it was unnaturally created. It was definitely a creation of man of some sort. He didn't know exactly what that source was.
Well, if you just imagine for a moment, if you have biological powder being sprayed over a given area, and you have bees in that area flitting from flower to flower, and that biological contaminant is on the flower, certainly the bees will pick up that and transport it just like they would pollen.
Yes.
So that's not a stretch, but I've not heard anything about it.
Right. And I was going to ask the Tom if that might be another way that it's being spread now. We also know that this virus is seeming to now have mutated. The reason why I say that, being, you know, trying to monitor exactly what's going on here in the Galve area as best I can, is that if that, as Hassan very, very plainly mentioned, it was a vector virus. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Rompa also mentioned it was a vector virus also and stated so months ahead of time that there would be in this area.
Are you sure you used that exact phrase?
What's that?
You used the exact phrase, vector virus?
From the source that I had, yes, and that was a second-hand source, so that we'll have to check out, but that was reported in February before the outbreak.
Okay.
And the source was a person in the Ramsar group. Of course, you know, then I don't want to get far into that, but what we're seeing here is that it's that virus, since it is obviously several points of bacteria, several points of virus, as Atan has told us over and over, this virus is going to mutate. Well, there's now an outbreak of meningitis in the area. We know.
Oh, really?
Yes. Nine children, these are primarily either Hispanic white children, are in the local Rehoboth McKinley County Hospital here at Galve. Nine cases of viral meningitis all at the same time. One of them is a very contagious case, and the other ones they claim as the uncontagious kind. We also know that from sources at the Public Health Service Hospital that they're starting to warn about meningitis because they're having a lot of outbreaks there as well. So it appears that it's becoming viral, probably getting into the spine, maybe spinal meningitis. We haven't heard that mentioned often, so I don't want to go too far off my research. I want people to know that I'm reporting as accurately as I can, and I'm not sensationalizing anything here. We're living through this. We're not trying to panic anybody. We're trying to report the fact so that when people understand what the Tom says something, and we're living in this area, we're seeing what is going on. You know, my point is, please, people, try to pay attention to what he's saying, because this is very real. And once you've lived through it, you realize how powerful the words of Tom's are and how accurate his information is. But it is apparently becoming meningitis.
You mentioned you have some information on the Centers for Disease Control.
Yes. Now, I think we finally have our first break in the case now. Obviously, what we have to establish in the investigation that we are running here in the area, we have to establish a time frame. Now, the Centers for Disease Control publicly very publicly came to the Gallup area 1 week after the virus outbreak. And at that time, there was probably only 8 or 9 deaths, all right? It wasn't a widespread epidemic of any kind. You see what I'm saying? According to the Centers for Disease Control and the way that they would monitor a virus or an outbreak, that would be a relatively small a number of cases, agreed?
Yes.
They were here, boom. I had a councilman involved, that's also another part of the story with Navajo tribe, so you might want to remind me of that when I get through this part of it, okay?
Okay.
But a councilman from the Prairie, he mentioned very strongly to me that, and he did a radio interview sent from me, unknowing of me, didn't have any information that I had given him. I had never spoken to him, but he did an interview on our sister station KJK in Gallup where he suspected the government was involved because one of the reasons he suspected is because of the quick response by the government. He says, often the tribe hunts the government for something and things will get buried in red tape for a year or two and then finally they'll do something about it. He says, these guys got right on top of it. But what we have to establish, Rick, is the fact that the Centers for Disease Control was in Gallup prior to any public mention cases of this mystery flu outbreak.
That's rather interesting.
We have now established that. We now have established that firsthand by a child that got sick in Gallup. He got sick in Gallup in February. There was also a mouse can in their backyard, which they did clean out, so that establishes a contact there. If indeed that is having anything to do with this case, like I said, a lot of people don't believe that the mouse theory at all. They just flat deal. Come on, come up with something better. But the child became sick, became hospitalized, had 104 temperature. He was flat in and out of consciousness. He was very close to death. They did every test they could up here. Now, granted, this is not the most advanced hospital in the world. This is a town of about 20,000. So, obviously, you know, there's not a lot of viral experts and stuff here, but they had no idea what it was. As it turned out, this woman, being very concerned about her child, talked to her friends in need of help, counsel, being consoled. This woman said, hey, you know what? I know of several women. Now, these are all women, by the way. I don't know if there's any significance to that, but these women were all Centers for Disease Control, and they were already here in the Gallup area, at least since February, and probably as early as January or even before that. One of them, in fact, was already house-sitting in a home of some people who were vacationing. This lady got her in contact as well. If it's a viral thing, yeah, there's an expert in town from the Centers for Disease Control that's here in Gallup. We don't know why, but she's here in Gallup. And wanted to have you call her. So she called this woman from the Centers for Disease Control. And this is going to be a big tip-off, B-Rick. She told her about her child and blah, 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 this, blah, that. She said, well, I can't tell you what it is, but you better stay on top of it if you're concerned for your child, because there's something in the air around here. There's something in the air around here. And that's all she would state. And the child was finally taken to Wisconsin and to a medical center there and subsequently recovered.
Let's go back to the meningitis thing for a minute.
Okay.
Do you have any more on that?
I know that there's 9 children there. I know that I've talked to some of the nurses there, and the nurses weren't being told much because they were kind of happy-go-lucky, and they weren't really significant of what was going on. But I know in this area of Gallup, you know, sometimes you get...
You're getting a clue now. I want to tell all of you in the room, Dorma has not heard this tape. And the brain is trying to operate while I'm trying to be present too. What kind of clues are they giving you? They're talking about meningitis. Let's look at causative factor. If we have some doctors in the room or some nurses, it doesn't matter, but sometimes I like a little confirmation myself, for the rest of you. When you are dealing with meningitis, and more especially that which is the true meningitis, the spinal or the brain, the inner nervous system meningitis, you are talking about the meningococcus. Now, what is a coccus? Well, it's not a virus. It is a cocci. And when you start trying to break down the varying types of infective organisms of the bacterial side of this equation, you will find the cocci. So when you begin to put things together in generalized form and then you begin to fit pieces, you have to realize by the symptoms that are being brought forth here, one, by its simple act of mutating, you've got a virus. Because viruses are crystalline life forms. They can be programmed. You've got the symptoms of a bacterial infection in this form of a cocci. So you know. You don't have to go to the Center for Disease Control. You don't have to go to the virologist. You know you've got a real problem because you've got a cross. Now something else. This would also be the kind of a test which will see what kind of insects will perish if this gets on them. You are going to, out of all of this, breed a breed of insect. In this instance, you're talking bees. Holy man's absolutely right. You have also had the thrust in the news of the killer bees moving all the way, I believe, from Africa northward. You know, a bunch of them. Are these violent bees? Are these indiscriminate killers? No, they're more aggressive. On the other hand, does it matter? You have already had the scene laid. You know that they are not going to be susceptible to that substance itself. Or if they are, it doesn't kill them. They are resistant to whatever is spread and they become carriers. You wouldn't have a problem with the tiger mosquito, for instance, in the Asian flu, if they were a typical tiger mosquito, they'd keel over, you know, the minute you pour a little pesticide on them. So you are not only breeding a strain of viral bacterial cross, which will, it'll mutate every damn time. That is the purpose of creating it. So that it will crossbreed with whatever your DNA is. And they can cross it with the typhoid. I believe that is a bacillus. You can begin to introduce these viral mutants, these DNA crystals, into any infective organism that you can conjure. This is why you will have from Kaposi's sarcoma lesions almost 100% of the time, if they would do it, or if they do it for testing, they're not going to tell you. A Kaposi's sarcoma lesion will almost always culture out the spirochete. The spirochete is the causative organism of syphilis. So when you have now crossed the syphilis spirochete with a DNA-altered virus, you have really got a problem. Because the spirochete itself will go inside a cell structure where you can't get treatment to it, unless you can get it in the base of something that will penetrate that cell wall. In the case of the spirochete aqueous penicillin. And finally, they did find that there were other modes of longer-acting penicillin that could get in there and get rid of the spirochete. But aqueous penicillin will not cross the T-cell barrier. So they've done something even more remarkable in AIDS. They have crossed it with something that can get in behind that cell, and the only known treatment for getting rid of it is penicillin, and they no longer will give aqueous penicillin, which would kill it if they used it, and so you have no treatment. And if you can't see the intent of this, then you're not going to make it. You won't make it because you won't take the proper precautions. Do I think you need crystal life? I don't care whether you have crystal life or not. You need to enhance your immune system. And the only way that you have got on your place is through something, whether it be called chondriana, Driana, Neandriana, that means neonatal DNA programming crystals. You need it. It's the only thing that you can intake in your body, and your body will create its own system for handling these invaders. Does it mean that you can't be overwhelmed? Absolutely not. It certainly does not mean that. You don't go out there and inhale deeply, you know. Breathe on me, infected person. God will save me. God will drop you dead. You're to the point in this evolving society where these are the things that will save your next. Go ahead, please.
I'm going to judge from children because they've been vaccinated. You know, when they get the vaccine, they'll get meningitis right away because, you know, it's...
What is the hoop-de-doo in Canada and all around? Meningitis vaccination. How else can they better get you? Go on, please.
As you well know, the vaccines are corrupt. They're giving you junk in the vaccines. And, you know, you can see it in children who have just been vaccinated and are very young. But these children, as far as I can determine, were all like from 9 years old to about 13 or 14. So they're all pretty young, but they were far from the age when you would, you know, when they were just born a week old and then receive their vaccine. You see what I'm saying? And 9 kids was a lot of cases they have all at one time.
And when did this take place?
This has been taking place over the last month now. And I don't know if any new cases have been outbroken because it's been a real tight lid here. There's a real tight lid on anything that happens in the hospitals, you know, the fear of panic and all that stuff. Now, they're not, I want to repeat, they're not. The government and the Centers for Disease Control are not associations associating the meningitis with the mystery flu. I'm making that association based on the fact that we're having a pretty big outbreak of meningitis. Also, based on the fact that this virus, this vaccine virus, is going to have to mutate. So I think it's already started mutating. I think you're going to have, what we're going to see is a lot of different, look like diseases, look like symptoms from other things that are already established. And I think that, eventually you're going to see some deaths in this. So, obviously the doctors were pretty concerned about it. Yes, they were, and they are very concerned at the public health hospitals too, because there have been outbreaks of meningitis. And it seems to be getting bigger instead of lessening. But I'm going to have to do some more research on that to be able to tell you more facts on that. I'm going to stay on top of the meningitis.
You mentioned something about a councilman or the non-host product.
Yes, I don't know if I should say his name or not. I don't want to
better not
single him out, but he was a very concerned gentleman. He really believes very strongly that the government is involved. I called him up, and here's an interesting fact for you. I called him up. We've been having problems with our phones. We've been talking about I had a case where a man blatantly told me that my phone was tapped and hung up. We've been hearing the phone will ring, and then there wouldn't be anybody there. Now, that hasn't happened as much lately. From the since the first day of the UFO outbreak, but there, I do want to emphasize that Atan and his group are here in massive numbers still unto this day. So we'll probably talk about that in a little bit here. But 10 minutes after I called a gentleman and asked him to meet me for lunch to look at some information I had, our phone went dead for 3 days. No dial tone. Could call us. Could call in. Now, I don't know if there's any significance to that. I don't want to sound like I'm paranoid, but it's certainly a strange time.
You're not a little paranoid. You don't know what's going on.
Right. So, I don't know. I'll have to leave that up to you. I'm sure you've had that happen to you. And, yeah, I'm concerned because I feel very strongly, you know, that they're watching what we're doing, and I know they don't like these interviews, but, you know, somebody's got to say something somewhere along the line. And, they put a big slant on the media, and I really appreciate your effort, Rick, to get this contact newspaper out. I really appreciate what you're doing.
Have you gotten any feedback at all as a result of the paper?
Yes, we are. It's been slow, and there's been a couple of a Christian group in town that I've given the information to. And they're looking at it. Now, you got to remember, the first thing when a Christian group looks at something, a lot of them have been saying now that when you talk about UFOs, those are actually demons. So a lot of them were kind of reluctant to, you know, the mystery flu part is different from the UFO part, although I know that you can't separate a concept group from what is going on. So when you mention that, you know, a lot of people kind of get real skeptical about what you're talking about. But many people here in town are seeing these objects. With the councilman in particular, he was so shocked by the information that I had given him, and a lot of it was in the interviews that I had in the contact that you so graciously gave. We took it to the, and I hate to say this over the phone because you know what's going to happen, but we took it to the tribe. He actually called Chairman Zawa. We were going to have it in the afternoon at 1:30. As it turned out, he was too busy to see us, but we got up to the Prince Secretary, Dwayne Mayall, and we talked about it. We made several copies of all the information that I had, and we gave it to the members that are on the committee, the health committee that is investigating the mystery flu. And we gave it to several key members of the tribe. We did give it to supposedly Dwayne Bale was going to pass it on to Zaw. We know a couple of days after that, the tribe started mentioning strangely in the papers that they kind of changed their minds a little bit. They thought the government was much more involved in this mystery flu than the government was willing to admit. However, consequently, there was supposed to be they wanted to get all the councilmen together and have an investigation, a special session of the council to have an investigation of the district flu, but I believe it was Chairman Zaw, and I do say I believe, I think it was Chairman Zaw that counseled it. So I don't know if that had any effect on what's going on, but I hope it went to your people.
How do you spell his name?
Zah. Z-A-H.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a tribal chairman. And as you well know, and of course this is not an accusation of any kind, having never spoken to Chairman Zah, I as you well know, when you rise to power, you get there by blowing the drink and have somebody blow your drink. So I don't know if he's involved. I don't know what's going on, but I would like to have a talk with him personally. But then again, you know, that's a personal choice on his part. Let's see here. There also is another article that I want to point out to you. Are you in the past, please? Were you aware that the National Examiner had a article entitled "Secret CIA Files Reveal Germ Warfare Tests Accident Killed Navajo Indians"?
Sounds like an interesting article.
It was an interesting article. I read the article and it was off base in a lot of regards. What it basically said was that when they captured some things by biological warfare, they captured several, obviously, weapons that they weren't sure that what they were. And supposedly they brought an expert tested it to see what would happen. And they wanted to come up with a virus. I mean, they wanted to come up with a vaccine to be able to find it if there was anything released in the future. And it was released purposely on the Navajo Indians then. And when they started dying, they realized it was much more powerful than they thought. What they've done subsequently to this, and as you well know, sometimes the tabloids will give you a great deal of truth. And to throw it out there and see what happens, how people will react. I'm not saying the article is true because I know there is a germ of truth in here, and I guess I don't mean that as a pun, but what happened with the article subsequently, though, is they put a big article in the journal stating, "Tabloids portray CIA as culprit in epidemic." And what they've done now is anybody, they just demolished the story. And I can quote from you if you would like, but...
It's a good way of discounting.
What's that?
It's a good way of discounting.
Yeah, so now what happens, anybody like me that thinks the CIA or the German, the Naval Intelligence or somebody's involved in this, the German warfare experiment on people in America.
I'm sure you're just a conspiracy nut.
Yeah, so they bring this article up now and show how stupid it is. And it really hurt the cause, I think, of people like me that's trying to tell people the truth. So they're pretty well covering their bases.
Well, they usually do.
Uh-huh. So, like I said, we've now established the Centers for Disease Control was here prior, and they knew something was in the air, and obviously they were here to monitor. Now, as of last week, the Centers for Disease Control and little out of the way, South Mexico, they opened up their an office here. The Centers for Disease Control now have an office right here in South Mexico. Now, does that tell you that they're a little bit concerned or a lot concerned?
Sounds like a good place for a research facility.
Right. They moved into a nice, roomy building. So, we know where they are. We're going to be watching them. But I just hate to see all these, you know, and it started off being a lot of Navajo people being victimized, and I hate to see people of any race or any color victimized, and it really is a sad thing when the government comes out here and does these kind of things to you and to all of us, and apparently spreading it from state to state, and I'm sure you're going to have some outbreaks. So are you in Las Vegas?
No.
California?
Yeah.
Okay, well, they've had cases in Las Vegas, so, you know, it's just a matter of time, but I just want people to, I just want to say, pay attention, people. It is happening. It is real. Atan is very much here. I appreciate the fact that he has made his presence known. We have seen the craft. They seem to be in a big circle now, Rick, around the area. It's just a big circular area. There's many of them up there in the air. In fact, it's usually very easy for me to go out and spot a UFO. But now there's so many of them in the sky, Rick, I'm having a hard time just telling you up close to the stars and planets. That's how many craft from our time are now in this area showing their presence. And this is an ongoing thing. We've seen this craft begin in the daylight hours, Rick. Not just at night, but in the daylight hours, and particularly early in the morning. So it's ongoing. The Hatan's activity, the presence he's shown to the people who know, and as a sign to the government, you know, don't mess with these people. Trying to do something about it. I know that there's Russians involved because that's what the Hatan mentioned in his article, that that they had brought some Ukrainians over and they were looking at the situation. I feel that there's a big tension now between our government and the Russians going on top of this because of this.